This is an RNIB Connect radio podcast.
With the upcoming UK general election on Thursday, the 4th of July 2024, here on RNIB Connect Radio, we thought it might be a good time to find out how accessible voting might be in other countries around the world for blind and partially sighted people. And I'm delighted to say that Jonathan Mosen, Chief Executive of Workbridge, an employment service for disabled people in New Zealand, who is also a blind broadcaster, amongst other things, joins me now to give me a little bit of an overview of how voting is in New Zealand for blind and partially sighted people. Hello, Jonathan, and welcome to RNIB Connect Radio.
Good to be here, Toby. Thank you.
I know you are very interested in politics, Jonathan, and you do closely follow the political scene here in the UK too. But putting the political things aside for a moment, I wanted to firstly ask you how voting works in New Zealand for blind and partially sighted people for casting their vote independently and hopefully in an accessible way, as here in the UK we are still relying on the system of marking a cross for the political party or candidate you want to vote for on a piece of paper, which is not the most sort of accessible way of voting for us all as visually impaired people. So how does it work in New Zealand?
Yes, I am a bit of a political tragic, unfortunately. But yes, the way it works here is exactly the same way for sighted people. We have a completely manual voting system, and postal ballots are available for people, or early voting are available for people. But generally, you go into your polling place on polling day and you mark the ballot. Now, that's obviously got some accessibility problems, as you say. So in 2014, an arrangement was arrived at with the Electoral Commission that uses a telephone dictation voting system. So the way it works is that you register as a blind person or somebody who has a print disability for some other reason ahead of time, and you get given a code that you can safeguard. It can be texted to you, it can be emailed to you, they can give you the code so that you write it down somewhere safe. And then when you want to vote, you make a call to a special toll-free number, you quote your code and a predetermined password that you've agreed to. So you don't identify yourself by name when you make that call. And then you are asked to cast your vote. When you've done that, the ballot paper, which is filled in manually by an official on the other end of the phone, is handed to a second official. And that second official reads your ballot paper back to you. So they haven't been a part of the process until now. So it's a form of verifying that your vote has been cast the way you wanted it to be cast. And then it's simply put into a ballot box. So it's a surprisingly low-tech approach, but it works. The only downside is that it's not accessible to deaf-blind people, obviously, because you've got to be able to use the telephone to do this.
And I suppose also you're still relying on someone else making that choice for you in a way. Well, you're telling them who you want to vote for, but they're making that choice for you, which is not necessarily doing it in person and fully independently.
That's a really good point, and it's something that I was concerned about when this system was first introduced. It's not technically you marking your ballot paper in some way, but it is still secret and it's anonymous because nobody knows who you are when you cast your vote. And it's also highly accessible. It's good for people with mobility impairments as well. And just for the fun of it, you know, we vote on a Saturday here. That's when we hold our elections. So one Saturday morning when the polls had opened, I voted from bed. It was pretty nice to be able to do that. So yeah, sure, it is low tech. There are some philosophical issues that might be dealt with in future, but it does actually work and it's quite inclusive.
And would you prefer to sort of go into a polling station and cast your vote, or would you prefer to do it over telephone using that system?
Well, when the voting system was first introduced in 2014, I didn't actually use it. I still went along to a polling place, and the law has always been, for as long as I can remember anyway, that a blind person can take somebody of their choosing into the polling booth with them. And I used that when my children were young as a kind of a civics education thing. And I would pick one of them to go along to the polling booth with me and really emphasize that voting is important and you should do this and it's a sort of a sacred obligation. I'm very proud of the fact that now that all of my children are of voting age, they do not dream of missing an election. They always vote. So that worked. But now that they're older and I don't have to play that role as a dad, then I'm really actually quite happy to do it from home. It's just convenient. I don't need to navigate unfamiliar polling places or anything like that. And it's over and done in a matter of a couple of minutes.
I suppose that makes life easier, doing it from home from your armchair, doesn't it? And obviously over here, you know, we're in full steam leading up to the general election and all the political parties have launched their manifestos and other campaign material, which I think is mainly in a sort of accessible format in some way. And I wondered, in New Zealand, might there be laws in place to ensure that parties' sort of manifestos and other campaign material is in an accessible format for everyone?
No, sadly, there is no such law of that kind. Manifestos have kind of gone out of fashion in this country. So typically what happens for anybody, whether they be blind or not, is that you go to the party's website and you take a look at what's on that website. You can drill down into different policies and look at their policies, but they don't typically publish large manifesto documents anymore. Now, some of the accessibility of those websites will vary quite markedly, and I take that into account when casting my vote. We actually had a bit of a change here, a rather large change. In 1996, we held our first election under proportional representation, and we use a system very similar to the one that they use in Germany, a mixed member proportional system. So we have a lot of parties now. And that does play some role in terms of how you engage with the political process and how you get information.
Do you get candidates knocking on your door? Because I had one knock on my door the other day, and when I said, oh, I'm registered blind, do you have anything in an accessible format? And it was like, oh, take his name and address and we'll get something to him. And I know there's websites and stuff and I can go online and view information, but it just would be nice to have something in an accessible format that they could hand to me.
Oh, sure. I mean, if somebody makes that kind of effort and knocks on your door with something in Braille, that would be pretty compelling. And I noticed, for example, that I can't remember, it might have been the 2017 election. You guys have had so many. I think it might have been your 2017 election. The Liberal Democrats were the first party that I noticed who were adding alt text to their images on the artist formerly known as Twitter. And I remember thinking, the fact that they were doing it, and at that stage, no other party was a feather in their cap. And I think everybody's doing it now. So you do take into account those sorts of things. I should also say another big flaw in our voting system is that local elections for our local councils, so we have councils quite similar to the UK system, they are managed by the individual councils. So they're not handled centrally in terms of process and protocol by our electoral commission. And that means that the voting system that we have for national elections is not available locally, and all local elections have gone postal voting. So they are horribly inaccessible. It is impossible for a blind person to cast a secret ballot here for local elections, because the only thing you can do is go through the material online, peruse the numerous candidate bios, but then you've got to have a sighted person fill in your ballot paper for you.
And I know you've worked for a couple of assistive technology companies in the past, and you are a very keen fan of technology, which I think everybody knows about. But I wondered, how do you think voting could maybe move to a digital format and become more accessible? As we do use so much technology, and there's so much technology around us, so it must be easy to move to a digital sort of accessible format.
Yeah, I think the biggest barrier is just the concern about the integrity of the elections. And obviously, various countries interfering with electoral processes has got everybody very nervous. We got very close to piloting in a few regions electronic voting for local elections, particularly for disabled people who can't cast a secret ballot at the moment. But the government of the day, when we were very close to getting that done, pulled back at the last minute because of security concerns. So the IT industry in New Zealand has been adamant that doing anything electronically for something as important as choosing who governs you is not there yet. And yet I read amazing stories about what's going on in Estonia, where they're doing some fantastic e-democracy work there. And that seems to be all right. So, you know, often you do get this need to push through. I remember I had this when I was advocating for accessible ATMs, which we take for granted now. But the banking industry at the time told me it was a huge security risk and they didn't support it. So sometimes you just have to keep crashing through.
Indeed, indeed. And how excited will you be on July the 4th? And will you be following closely the elections here?
Let me tell you how excited I'll be. I'm actually going to be at the National Federation of the Blind in Orlando, in Florida. So I've gone all the way from New Zealand to Orlando to be at their convention. And of course, July the 4th is Independence Day. But come 5 p.m. US Eastern Time, I am in do not disturb mode. I will be waiting for that exit poll. I'll be glued to the coverage. I'm a tragic when it comes to this sort of stuff.
Well, Jonathan, thank you so much for chatting with me here on R&B Connect Radio and giving me a bit of an insight into voting in New Zealand as a blind or partially sighted person.
It's a pleasure.
If you'd like to help to make sight loss a priority for the next UK government, do ask your local candidate to become an R&B champion if elected. To contact your candidate, fill out the simple online form on the R&B website, rnib.org.uk.